Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Hey guys, before we get going on this episode, I just wanted to take a moment because we've been receiving a lot of emails. So also, if I have not gotten back to you on an email you guys have sent, I apologize. It's been hard for us to keep up recently. But if you have been asking about the Catholic Man Show campout, when is registration going to be open? When is the campout? Registration for the 5th annual Catholic Man Show campout will be open for our patrons starting this Monday, August the 9th. We open it up to our patrons first, give them the first right of refusal because we only have 50 spots available. And then after that, on Wednesday or Thursday, the 11th or 12th of August, we will open it up to the public. If you are a patron, this campout is completely free. This is world-class cooking from Juan. All of that is taken care of for you, so you don't have to worry about food. We have beer. We have a whiskey tasting. If you are flying in and need camping equipment, we will take care of that for you. We try to make it as easy as possible for anybody who's trying to travel here to Oklahoma for the Catholic Man Show campout. If you're not a patron member, why? No, I'm just joking. It's only $50, which is still a really good deal. We barely break even. We're not doing this to make money, but to have fun, to have fellowship, to enjoy each other's company, to talk about meaningful things around the campfire, to enjoy the real. And so, 5th annual campout coming up. A registration is going to be open. If you're just now hearing about it, the campout is 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th of September. It is at Clear Creek Monastery. This is a Benedictine monastery in Hobart, Oklahoma, about an hour outside of Tulsa, that we've talked about many times on the show, but they are a treasure to the diocese. They are a gift. They are contemplative monks, so they chant, they pray, they work. Or at Labora. It is a great experience to just be out there as well. So anyway, if you go to thecatholicmanshow.com, you will be able to register for the 5th annual Catholic Man Show campout. We have some great prizes, some great things that we're going to be doing for the campout this year with it being our 5th year. So anyway, I just wanted to touch base with you guys on this. We recorded this episode about a week before it's actually going out. So we talked about it on the show, but we did not release an actual date that we were going to be opening the registration. So I just wanted to be clear there. So hope you guys enjoy the show, and cheers to Jesus.
We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Adam and Ann here in studio with David Niles. We have Juan back. Thank goodness. Hey, if you guys did not listen to last week's episode when we interviewed Bishop David Condorla,
we had an apostle.
We had an apostle
on
the show.
It
was a really great show. We talked about his letter, Lord, I am not worthy. If you have not read the letter, you can go to our...
Go read the letter.
It's phenomenal. Anyway, if you want to read, really great.
If you want to read something good from a bishop, Go read the letter.
Go read that letter. But luckily we have Juan back, because if you go to our YouTube channel and you'll watch us, like, just, or maybe it's Facebook, regardless, one of them, we were just on the struggle bus for a little while trying to get everything going, and now we have Juan back. It's great.
A shocker.
We actually have the whole team back. The gang's back, guys.
It's all here.
The gang's all here. We got Jim over here hanging out.
The boys are back in town.
Dave's back from his vacation. Dave, I have so much stuff that I wanted to tell you last episode with Bishop here that has happened because we, you know, haven't been around.
I had stories. I think we both had stories we wanted to tell.
Yes.
It wasn't the setting.
It wasn't the setting. So I'm going to tell some of them today.
I want to hear some of them.
Okay.
Maybe.
Possibly. Yeah. Can we open the bourbon today? What's the bourbon today?
To hear is to obey. Do you hear that? I opened it.
Yeah, that was nice.
I don't know. You bought it. What? Well, you brought it. It's Rough Rider straight bourbon whiskey, finished in brandy casks. It's a rye.
Mm-hmm. It's a double cask. Yeah. I'm really excited about it to try it out.
It says a high rye bourbon.
I'm also excited to try it because it fits in with one of the stories that I was going to tell you.
No kidding.
Yes. So, rodeo, 4th of July rodeo in Hartshorn, America. In Hartshorn, America, this rodeo, you get to basically, if you are a living, breathing person, you want to participate in the rodeo, and you have a little bit of cash.
Yes, you can ride a bull.
You can ride a bull. You can do things in the rodeo.
I don't know if they'll let you ride a bull.
Yeah, they will. A bull? I almost did it. I almost did it.
They would let, without a rodeo card?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm so totally serious, Clark.
They were going to put you on a bull.
Yes.
Okay. This idiot
wants
to ride the bull. Put him on it.
Yeah. It'd be hilarious.
It'd be hilarious.
But Jude.
I would do it.
Yeah. But Jude won the mutton busting contest. He's a Rough Rider bourbon. He won the mutton busting contest, which is, if you don't know what mutton busting is, it is sheep riding.
Yeah, look it up on YouTube. It's hilarious.
It's hilarious. So Jude, out of 40.
You need to put the video on our.
I put it on Facebook. So,
you did?
Yeah. So Jude won it. So he was holding on.
There was
dear life.
Nothing going to get him off that sheep.
No. So he won it. He gets a big belt buckle that says Hartshorn Rodeo Mutton Busting Champion 2021.
With like a sapphire. It looks like not a sapphire, but it looks like one.
Yeah. And it's a huge belt buckle.
It's huge. It's awesome.
Yes. And he won $116.
Which is like infinity. So, it's like infinity money.
At 6 years old, he knows it's just a ton of money. So I said, Jude, what are you going to buy? He said, a boat.
Yeah.
Because he knows a boat costs a lot of money. He now has a lot of money.
Right.
$116.
Obviously.
So I'm going to go buy a boat.
I'm within the boat realm.
Right. So he bought that. And then Luke rode a bronc. Like, he actually rode a bucking bronc. First time, never been on a horse before.
Yeah, not a horse at all.
Not a horse at all. All
right.
I was very, very proud of him. Anna also mutton busted, kind of. She tried to get off before the sheep even got off. I was down there holding her. So anyway, it was awesome. It was really cool. It was a proud moment as a dad. Like a city folk come down there to Hartshorn Rodeo and just whoop up on them.
prime stock coming down from the big city.
All right, let's try it. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers. I like the color. Just right off the bat, I really like the color.
I like a darker color of my whiskey.
I'm getting...
This is a nice like honey amber. I just smelled the microphone.
A little rusty, huh?
I had the glass in my hand.
You've been here for a while.
The microphone. That
I've been here a while. It'll come back to you. Orange peel, lime, a little bit of.
I'm getting feathered hay.
Honeysuckle.
Feathered hay. You know, like when you take hay and you feather it.
Feathered hay. That's what I'm getting on the nose. Orange, a little bit of lemon lime, and honeysuckle.
It's very clean on the nose. You know, mm-hmm. It's not overpowering. It's very clean.
I'm getting the honeysuckle as well. I second that comment.
For it being a rye, it's not. There's not a lot of bite.
I was going to say,
it's
I'm
not rough.
Sure, if you'd given this
for
to
a
me,
Rough Rider,
I wouldn't have said that's a rye. It kind of tastes like a regular like just a bourbon.
Has some good caramel notes to it.
There's some caramel in there.
It's sweet at the very beginning.
Yeah.
On the palate.
It's kind of sweet the whole time.
Little subtle fruit notes in the very back. It was only, I believe, $38.
Honestly, that's delicious.
It's a good...
38?
38, I believe.
Is it really... I know it says high rye. Mm-hmm. Is it actually... Is that just like a name? Is it actually a rye?
It is a rye, yes.
That is the most mild rye.
It's 90 proof, so it's not not too bad. It's good.
I think it's very good.
What's one of your stories that you had?
For $38, that's a winner.
That's a win?
I'm going to look for that one in the store.
Rough Rider, double cask.
That is good. Okay, so we were in Michigan for a couple weeks. Our cabin up there is just really a peaceful, it's really my favorite place. And we were driving back. It's a 15-hour drive. We were going straight from the cabin to Pamela's family reunion in Arkansas. 15-hour drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do it all in one day. On the way up there, we stopped. We broke it up into 2 days. But I was just going to like, nope. We're going to do this. Power through.
Yep.
We get an extra day here at the cabin, you know, whatever. So we leave real early in the morning. We get into St. Louis, which is, you know, at this point, we've been on the road for like 9 hours or something. A long time. It's about halfway. Uh-huh. So, right as we're coming into East St. Louis, I was trying to throw...
What kind of rough part of town?
East St. Louis does not have a good reputation.
Yeah.
I will just tell you that. I don't know how things are in East St. Louis these days, but I will tell you at one point... That was not a place you wanted to go.
Nelly sang about it back in the 90s, I think.
Right. It's just...
That was a
deep
cut.
It's just not something... It's not on the tourist list. So,
sure.
Right as we're coming in, I am attempting to throw an M&M to each one of the girls in the back. And so...
As you're driving. You're driving.
I'm driving. Okay, I don't recommend that.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify.
And I just hit the... Wah, on the side of the road. Yeah. What is that called? I have no idea what that's called.
The wake up alarm.
The thing.
Yeah.
When they do the stuff on the road and it goes wah.
Yeah. I liked mine better.
But it doesn't go. It goes wah. That's what it sounds like. Okay. Anyway, you obviously drive so slow. Anyway, right after that, I immediately see this low pressure, tire pressure. And, look down, says zero on a back left tire. It's great. So I pull over, it's totally popped. And my wife, she's like, do you know how to change a tire? I said, watch this.
I took off my shirt and said, honey, hold this.
Ripped it. First thing you got is rip the sleeves.
Yeah.
I do know how to change a flat tire. So I get the tire out, I'm working on it, and, you know, I was making good progress, and then all of a sudden this guy pulls over, and he comes up and he's like, looks like you could use a, oh, what do you call those jacks?
Floor jack?
A floor jack, yeah, it looks like you could use a floor jack. I got one, and he's kind of, I don't know how old he was, he's, you know, maybe 60,
mm-hmm.
And he said, I got some stuff, but you're going to have to do the work. I was like, all right, I'm fine with
that. Yeah.
So I walk over to his truck, and yep, he's got a floor jack, and, you know, you can, that gets the car off the ground in a few seconds, right, as opposed to like 5 minutes, you
right.
know? And so his name was Gerald. And I'm like getting the nuts off the tire. And he says, I'm not a very good person, but... I do stop to help people when they got a flat tire. It's the one thing I do for the church. I was like, all right, well, Gerald, you were a godsend today.
Yeah.
And he's telling me, like, I got a doctor's appointment. I don't have a lot of time, but if you think we can do this quickly, I can, you know, help you and stuff. And so...
I'm not a nice person.
He said, I'm not a very good person.
Or not a very good person.
But it's the one thing I do for the church. And so, you know, we got it changed.
God bless him.
Yeah, we got it changed. And I was like, thank you very much. Put it, you know, get it back in his truck. And he was going to make it to his doctor's appointment. And I was like, Gerald, let's pray.
Nice.
And so, yeah, I just led us in a quick prayer. And then when I'm done, I look up and Gerald is on the verge of just totally breaking down in tears. And he's like, all right, I got to go. And got in his truck and left.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it just beautiful prayer, huh?
I thought it was a good prayer. I mean, didn't make me cry. Yeah, it was. Honestly, I think that he stopped. The Lord wanted it more for him than for me.
Not a good person.
Not a very good person.
Here's to you, Gerald. We'll be right back. This segment of the Catholic Man Show is brought to you by the Catholic Woodworker. Go to thecatholicwoodworker.com for heirloom quality home altars, crucifixes, and rosaries.
It's also the only place where you can get the official rosary of the Catholic Man Show. Type in promo code TCMS for 10% off all purchases. TCMS for the Catholic Man Show. CatholicWoodworker.com. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Here with Adam Minahan, we got Juan Posada and Gene Spencer in the studio. Thanks for being here, guys. You too, Adam. Thanks for being here, Adam.
It's my house.
Yeah. I'm thanking you for being here.
You know what?
The polite thing to do, Adam, is just say, hey, welcome.
I don't get a lot of people who actually thank me for being in my house, so I appreciate that.
I'm just trying to be nice. I'm trying to be like Gerald.
I'm not a good person. It's the one thing I do.
Yeah. I do thank people, though, for being where they are.
Hey, something else I got to tell you.
The way you said that makes me a little nervous. But go ahead.
Okay. Luke, like did his first bass fishing tournament and qualified for the state championship.
He's
fishing
legit.
Tournament.
He's like halfway being pro.
He's halfway being pro, yeah. So it's his first fishing tournament.
Can you go pro at 9 years old?
No, I don't believe so. And he's not even 9 yet.
Well, that was like when he gets to be 9.
Yeah, so he qualified for the state tournament.
I figured it'll take about a year before
he can
be
actually
pro.
Do it, yeah. He was the top third. There's over 40 some odd teams.
So is this a youth fishing tournament, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. On a bass boat. So, and it was the first time I ever fished from a boat, which is a different skill set, right?
Sure.
You know, you're not on the ground, you're uneven. You're now having to be a lot more particular where you're landing your lure because you're either fishing maybe on a dock or close to a dock or, you know, in brush. You know, there's just a lot more things to go wrong.
And when you're moving, you have to realize, like, oh, if you cast alongside this log, well, now you're going to move, so you're going to be dragging over on top of, you know.
Right. There's just a lot more. Anyway.
And more elements.
He did a great job. He actually won. So it's a bass fishing tournament. Anything that's not a bass is considered a junk fish. Mm-hmm. There was a prize for junk fish, the biggest junk fish, and he won that. He caught a 5-pound catfish.
I thought you were about to say bluefin tuna.
No.
It's like in Lake Tenkiller?
Lake Tilly Tenkiller? Nope. Caught a catfish, 5 pounds.
That'd be hilarious if you just like went to the pet store and you bought yourself like a big fish. You put it like some exotic fish that obviously doesn't live in Lake Tenkiller and you tried to turn it in. It's like
swordfish.
Is that a lionfish? Yep. Pulled it right out down near the dam. Sir,
this is a saltwater fish.
The judge is going to have to go over some things regarding your complete entry.
But so I was super proud of him. He did a great job. I had to wake up super early, over 5 hours of fishing, which is a long time for
that. Was a lot of fishing.
It's a lot of fishing. He did a great job. He at the end, he goes, Dad, you think we could hit the pond on the way home to go fishing? I was like, son, we just fished for 5 hours. We're not going to go fishing when we get home.
But I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. So anyway, I was really proud of him.
That is awesome.
So in August, we're going to go to the state championship.
Sweet.
So I'm pumped about that. And they're going to do flag football this year. Really pumped about that as well.
Big year.
Big year for the Minahan boys.
Man.
So today, we're going to talk about hospitality today. This is the man gear section. If you're new to the show, we have a drink. We have a
Adam, why do we drink on the show? We haven't talked about that in a while.
We like to. We like to.
Because we're sinners, that's why.
We have a man gear and then a topic. While you were gone on your one-month hiatus, there's a thing that you were involved in that you just dropped the ball on. You just left everybody high and dry.
You're talking about the chickens?
Nope. No, I'm not. I'm talking about the St. Joseph Novena.
Yeah.
And so...
I have been meaning to ask you about that, actually.
So the Minahan family...
Have you been doing it? It's a blessing that we gave you.
Yes.
It is a beautiful Novena.
It's a beautiful Novena.
Have you done that one before?
No. This is the first time.
Yeah, it's incredible.
So anyway, before you leave today, I got to give it back to you.
Okay, is today number 9?
Yesterday was number 9, actually.
Oh, okay.
So...
That's okay.
So anyway, what it is Deacon Jay Thomas from the diocese. He is a deacon of Holy Family Cathedral. He is a man who I aspire to be someday. Like, he raises his family, just, he's a role model. Mm-hmm. And what he decided to do on the year of St. Joseph is to get a group of families together to pray a continuous novena to St. Joseph. And so what he did was he has this little shrine, the St. Joseph shrine that he put in it looks like a picnic basket that they kind of just...
No, he found that. That's like a real shrine that he found like on eBay or something.
Wow.
And it says Ora Pro Nobis on it. So it's like a...
No, I'm talking about the basket that it's in.
Oh, okay. That's just a basket. I'm sorry.
That's what I was saying.
I thought you were talking about the actual shrine. No. I apologize.
There's a basket. He puts the shrine, which is a St. Joseph shrine, St. Joseph statue.
Shrine itself is like...
It's beautiful.
It's small, but beautiful. It's like you can tell it comes from the old school.
Mm-hmm. And so what he did was he put it in this picnic basket, and on the picnic basket lid, he has the list of families that are involved. And so each family... prays the novena for 9 days and then passes it to the next family, and they pray it for 9 days and then pass it to the next family throughout the whole year of St. Joseph.
Going.
And it just keeps going.
And we pray for each other. We pray for our families and for the other families. So it's like you constantly have a novena to St. Joseph being said for your family.
Which, these are one of these the things that when I hear it, I'm thinking like, why did I not think of this? Mm-hmm. What a great idea.
Yeah.
What a great idea to... build community, to build up your prayer life, mm-hmm. To be able to promote the devotion of St. Joseph with your children.
Yeah, and so on the Feast of St. Joseph, our group has St. Joseph parties sometimes.
Right. And so anyway, so I thought it was a great idea through the year of St. Joseph, and it's not too late to start. If you're listening to this right now and you're thinking like, that is a great idea, I'd like to get 3 or 4 or 5 families together and do this. Like, you can do that.
Yeah, we're actually in the process of replicating the shrine.
Oh, you are? Great.
So he had a 3D model made.
It's beautiful.
And I sent it to India, and we're having sand cast.
Nice.
Because we looked everywhere. Because the shrine itself really facilitates. It's small.
It's beauty.
But it's also just very beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it gives you something to set up in your house. You know, you pass it around. So there's something more real about it, because when it's your turn to say the novena, it's like, oh, it's my turn to say the novena. Okay, I guess we'll start. But it's different when you have to carry something to the next family, mm-hmm. and say, like, here, it's your
something tangible.
Right, exactly. It's physical. It's there. You see it. You have it. You put it in your house, you know. Right.
So if you have a home altar, it's a perfect spot to, you know. So
it's called a traveling novena, and now there's something literally that travels, you know.
Right.
And so that shrine, when he found it, it had nothing in it. So he put the statue, and he put like put a fabric backing on it. It looks really, really nice. The rest of it is all original. So we can put pictures up. I have pictures of it, but there's some metalwork on it that's just very ornate that really makes the shrine. We have actually the wood already remodeled. We just don't. So hopefully we get this, these die casts made, because then we can start making a whole bunch of them.
Right.
You know, we could buy them, like, in bulk if we wanted.
Sure.
From this place in India. So,
you've been doing it a lot longer than I have, because I've only been doing it for 9 days.
I think we've been doing it for, like, 2 years, maybe.
Oh, 2 years? I thought it was just for the St. Joseph, the year of St. Joseph. You've been doing that for 2 years?
Yeah, it was before the year of St. Joseph.
No kidding.
Uh-huh.
Wow, I did not realize that.
I'm pretty sure.
That's awesome.
Uh-huh.
So what's your experience been like with the kids? And
It's been great. The novena itself, like I said, is very beautiful.
And then you end with one of the Pope Leo XIII St. Joseph prayers.
Right, exactly. That is to be said every day. I mean, that's just what we decided, you know, as our group. You say that every day, whether you have the shrine or not.
Okay. I'm new. Like,
yeah, that's okay. So, but it's just great to, like, have these other families who, you know, we started off with selecting families that we thought would appreciate it and would be devout in the way that they did it, you know, that would be faithful to it. Be able to honor that commitment, because there's a lot of times, you know, this is a common thing where people get excited about a devotion, and then it actually devotions are rigorous. When it actually comes to doing it, it's hard, and often a devotion is harder than you think. You know what I mean? And so you stop. And if it's
because it becomes inconvenient at times.
Well, it's inconvenient, and sometimes it's a burden. Yeah. Sometimes you realize the burden of this devotion is more than what I can handle right now, you know, and you just have to learn to discern before you begin a devotion. Father Cosgrove started the 12 years.
He did.
Of St. Bridget a few days ago on her feast day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was just a few days ago.
Yeah. It's of Sweden, not St. Bridget of Sweden.
Of Sweden.
Yeah.
Of Sweden. So, that's a devotion. Should be
we did a whole episode on that.
Discerned. Yeah, go back and I really want to promote that. I mean, because it's just those prayers are so beautiful. Anyway, the shrine is really great. We pass it around. It builds community. It builds my own devotion to St. Joseph, especially with this. There's just something about this particular novena. I know Juan, it really inspired Juan too. I mean, he says it a lot.
Yeah. So if you have a group of guys in your parish, you have a patron saint, or you want to do it to St. Joseph or the Blessed Virgin Mary, this would be a great idea to, like, up your prayer game, build community, promote different saints within your household.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be Joseph. You could do it with, you know, any saint. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about hospitality when we get back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Sipping on a little bit of Rough Rider bourbon. Got done talking about a traveling shrine, traveling novena that you and your families can participate in.
Start one.
Yeah.
Just go get a statue. You don't have to have, like, the shrine. I mean, if that's like, don't let that prevent you from doing it.
Sure.
Just go get, like, go to your local Catholic book and gift store and buy a statue.
Make it happen.
You just need like four families.
Yeah.
It's good to have a few more. Otherwise, it comes around
quicker,
like very often, you know, and that's okay. But there's a good balance there.
Yeah. So last week we had Bishop David Kunderla on, talking about his letter that he put out on the reception of Holy Communion in the public office and the support or how the support of abortion or how you should not be supporting abortion and receiving communion as in a public office. And now we're going through, this is like one of my favorite times in the liturgy cycle of readings, because we're going through
John 6,
you know, the Bread of Life discourse. It's the only time that I know of, at least, I could be wrong here, but like it feels like there's consecutive Sundays where it's just building up on each other.
Oh no, that happens a lot.
It's over uh-huh. a long period of time.
Well, like what do you count as a long period?
I don't know.
Of time?
It's like what, 4 or 5 weeks.
Oh yeah, there's definite 4 or 5. That happens a lot where they're in the gospel. There's a theme that repeats for four. It's not as obvious. The thing about John 6 is like this is the theme. This is like the Catholic theme, right? Okay. So like this is we all get jazzed up and we
get excited about
like,
it.
Make banners and you know.
He's
like shoot
banners.
Off like
poppets and
confetti things, you know. It's like, yeah, John 6, woo! You know, but yeah, it's very common, actually.
Well, okay, so the reason why I said that, though, is because it separates us from our Protestant brothers and sisters of what we believe, especially regarding the Eucharist.
Yeah.
And we were talking with Bishop David Condola also about how it's a pastoral reason to not let them participate in a communion if they're not in the communion itself. And a lot of times it can right. become hostile, like they feel like that we're keeping them out. Or that, you know, we're not welcoming everybody in, which is the exact opposite, right? We want everybody in the Catholic Church.
We want you to receive communion,
We
actually,
want you to,
but
to receive.
You need to but be in communion before you can receive communion.
Right. And so my thought was it would be good to talk about hospitality today. And we actually had a episode a while back with Father Brian O'Brien on hospitality in the church itself.
We've never talked about hospitality?
Well, I think we have. I didn't see any others.
Okay.
Jim, if you...
I mean, heaven forbid we talk about something twice.
I know.
It's not like... Because, you know, nobody else has ever
basically
done that.
Every time we exhaust the topic, there's really nothing else
right.
to say.
I mean, exactly.
Yeah. So, but I want
to... now we will just play our last episode. Take the week off.
But, you know, I was doing some research, and there's this book on Verbum. You and I both have Verbum. It's I highly recommend
totally.
Getting it. It's an awesome resource. But there's a book on there, Encyclopedia of Ancient Christianity, and it talks about how Christian hospitality from the beginning involved heavy burdens for the community. That was like a quote in there, and I started thinking about it. I was like, well,
what book was it?
It's called Encyclopedia of Ancient Christianity.
Okay.
And it talks about how it's going through, you know, hospitality. We picked it up from early Christianity from our Jewish brothers and sisters, right? Like hospitality was a huge thing even in the mm-hmm. Jewish culture, the Jewish religion.
I feel like it was a big thing in almost all cultures back in the day where like you would welcome just someone traveling by, you might welcome them into, you know, in a world where things were more perilous, where you were like the chances of you dying of starvation on the road, you know, that could reasonably happen to you. Mm-hmm. You know, you would prepare for it, so it wouldn't. But if something happened and you lost your food or whatever, like you're in real trouble, you know. And so when you saw people traveling, there was more of like a need, you know. It's like almost like a camaraderie, like, oh hey, you need me. I need, you know, like I'm here for you sort of thing. So that, but it was beautiful. It's something that we shouldn't have let go of. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, Dave, in the Greek culture, in the Odyssey, they talk about how Zeus tested the people by being a traveler. And he would like show up to people's houses. And if they weren't hospitable to them, then he would smite them. So it was like, you had to be hospitable to everybody. I mean, so it wasn't only the Jews. It was mm-hmm. definitely
yeah, I mean, Jewish, Muslim culture is very big on hospitality. Like for the traveler. I mean, like.
I was not aware of that. Mm-hmm. But that sentence struck me. That it involves heavy burdens for the community.
Uh-huh.
And I started thinking about it. It's like, what?
It's an interesting way to say it.
But it makes sense to me, right? There's a lot of times when we're hospitable to other people. If there's somebody that's new into the parish, well, come on over. Come on over for brunch. It's like, I wasn't planning on having brunch with you. Now I need to make sure that my house is clean. Mm-hmm. I'm bailing on my plans that I had to welcome you in. And maybe it wasn't something that I was like really planning on doing. And maybe it was actually kind of inconvenient for me. Mm-hmm. And I think in this culture today, it's easy to just get in these ruts of I do this and then I do this. And I, at least this is for me. A lot of times my week is so scheduled out that it's hard for me to break off of it to make sure that I'm welcoming other people or make sure that I'm hospitable to other people. Yeah. Because it would ruin what I had the rest of the day.
Well, I mean, in another way, it's so easy to be hospitable today because, oh, you welcome somebody else, like, all right, pick another loaf of bread up from the store or like get another pound of ground beef. Mm-hmm. I mean, picture yourself back in the day. Oh, you welcome somebody, like, often that meant welcoming their family and everyone traveling with them. Like, you might have to go slaughter two more goats. Okay? Like, you're going to be busy for hours. You know, like...
And that was, like, what you were going to eat for in the wintertime.
Right. And you thought you were, like, done for the day or something.
Right.
I mean, so the amount of labor that went into hospitality back in the day was significant.
Mm-hmm.
Often. Mm-hmm. Whereas today, it's like, all right, well... Let's have a pizza delivered.
Right. It is easier in that aspect, but in today's busy, like, quote unquote, busy world to make the time.
Yeah, there's a bigger emotional hurdle today to overcome because, you know, we do get set in our ways, kind of like what you're saying.
And
mm-hmm. Because things are so readily available, it's like, well, you know, like how big of a need could you really have?
Right.
You know, it's so easy to get stuff.
Right. But making sure we welcome people into the church, like, it drives me crazy when I look at the RCIA of a big parish and I take count and there's, you know, it's a 2,000 family parish and there's 7 people coming into RCIA.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, well, what are we doing wrong? Why are we not welcoming these people? Why? What is it about this parish or me or my family that we're not attracting other people and being the light of Christ out in this dark world, that they're not like, wow, I want to see that. Like, why are we not bringing people in more? And how are we not doing this in an organic way? One time I was listening to Matt Frad, I don't know, this was a year or more ago, and on his show, and he was talking about how before he moved, because he's now in Steubenville. Did you know that?
Yeah.
He's in Steubenville. Yeah. That's like another little Catholic hub that is just...
He moved a few months ago.
Right. I didn't know. I mean, you don't listen to podcasts anymore, so I just want to make sure you...
I did hear that.
Anyway, he opened up his house to all of his neighbors. He said, like, whatever, the third Saturday of the month, it's just an open party. No one has to RSVP. Just know you guys are coming. You guys can come over. Come and go as you please. We'll have drinks and some snacks. Just come over. And I thought, like... That's so easy. How? Like, why are we not doing something like that?
Yeah.
Because as we've talked about before, Dave, in order to start evangelizing somebody, you have to know somebody. You know, and hospitality most of the time involves food, involves drink. You know, even in today's gospel, like, you know, the multiplication of loaves and fish. You know, Christ even says, like, everybody, have a seat, relax for a minute, and then he feeds everybody. Right. And the miracle occurs. But like, he has everybody relax. Everybody sit down. Calm down. We'll get this. Let me do my work here.
Yeah.
But it's just it just drives me crazy how, like, in my mind, I'm thinking like, oh, what kind of program or what do we have to do to make people come in? And as easy as like what Matt Frad did of just opening. Hey, just letting you guys know, I posted this on our little neighborhood Facebook page or whatever. The third Saturday of the month. Everybody's coming over. Everybody can come over.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to You do have to cross yourself with holy water before you come
in. We will sprinkle you with holy water as you come in. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, these are little things in hospitality.
I cook with blessed salt.
Gotcha. Got you. Why is Jim over there just convulsing?
Yeah.
Oh, he ate some of the blessed salt.
Right.
But so...
Oh, you tried the pretzels. Gotcha.
But I mean, don't you agree? Like, don't you think one is superb at this, right? Of making sure that people feel welcome, bringing them over for dinner, cooking
like
for them,
a hospitality machine.
Yeah, his love language is hospitality.
Come to the camp out, and you can see for yourself.
No doubt. But turns out that Aquinas had a homily on the law of hospitality.
You don't say.
Yeah, so we'll go over that on the other side of the break.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And you want, when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the great, the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We're talking about hospitality. Drinking some Rough Rider whiskey, which still is delicious. It's still good.
$38. Not bad.
That is better than not bad. Fantastic.
So Aquinas has this homily on the law of hospitality, specifically going over Romans 12:13, when Saint Paul talks about being, you know, be hospitable. And in typical Aquinas fashion, he gives this, there are four motives for us to be moved towards hospitality. And then he breaks down each four motive with like three subsets, you know,
right.
Typical. I would love to have heard, I wish we had a recording of Aquinas giving a homily. You know, or, like, I just would love to hear.
What if he had a super high-pitched voice? Like, what?
What if he's like, all right, guys, there are four subsets.
That just that totally would,
that,
ruined,
yeah, that could ruin it,
like,
yeah.
Ruin Aquinas for you? Right, he's like this big, fat guy. He's like, he walks up. He's like there with his, like, a stately bearing, gorgeous, bald head.
And now,
he's like, sounds like Mickey Mouse at the Hambo.
Oh, I hope he's laughing right now.
He's totally laughing.
Yeah,
he seemed like a pretty jolly guy.
Yes. So he has four motives for us to move to hospitality. The first one is the command. It's the command of the Lord to be hospitable.
You have to do it.
You have to,
or
do
you'll
it,
die.
Or you will die. So he breaks it down into three parts, basically, for the command of the Lord. It's a law by nature, by the old law, and by the new law.
What does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
So by nature is we desire it, so we should give it. In natural law, you know,
okay,
if you want it,
do it to others.
There's as yeah.
Sorry,
I'm boring you already.
Yeah, you're just being super boring.
It's Aquinas, so
no, it's you.
Oh, it's definitely me. the old law by obligation to the poor. Like, we have an obligation to help the poor.
Like, under the old covenant, kind old of like covenant, the Jewish, mm-hmm, Jewish law, sort of.
That's my understanding, okay, at least. And then the new law is be not forgetful to entertain strangers. In Hebrews 13:2, it talks about how...
where you have often entertained angels or something.
Yes, yes. Which is so weird to think about.
It's like, what?
Greg was an angel?
He's not even a real dude.
Yeah. I'm talking about you, Greg from Phoenix. I'd love it if he was listening to that. So the second motive he talks about, though, is from the example of saints.
Okay.
And he actually goes, I think, a little deeper than what we will go tonight on this example. But he talks about... Yeah. Shocker. I'll link the homily in our show notes if you're interested in reading the whole thing. But... he talks about how the saints were willing to be burdened of its uncomforts, of basically not putting yourself first.
Uh-huh.
I'm willing to sacrifice to make sure that you're taken care of, to make sure that you feel welcome, that you don't feel like that you being here is a burden to me.
Detachment gives you the freedom to be hospitable. When you detach yourself, when you understand that, like, the things, when you adopt a stewardship mentality, Mm-hmm. You know, stewardship is like, you know, it's like, under how much of your money does stewardship say you should give to your, give to the church?
All of it.
10%, 50%, you know, people, like, the trick is, oh, 10%, a tithe. 100% is the right answer. So, like,
I got it right.
All the stuff that I have, it's not like, it's, I'm stewarding them for the Lord, right? So they're not even, it's not even my stuff.
Right.
It's the stuff that the Lord has given to me to use in his service. Now, for most of the time, 99.9% of the time, that means, like, for my family, you know, whatever it is. It's the dinner table. Well, the Lord gave me a table so that my family could eat, have a good, beautiful place to eat.
Mm-hmm.
But occasionally, that means that other people need to eat there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, detachment gives you freedom to be hospitable, like hospitable, just in abundance, abundantly hospitable.
The burden of abundance.
You know what? I've used that phrase a lot lately because we're harvesting from the garden,
mm-hmm.
like tomatoes. You know, just like I've literally instituted a 5 tomato minimum per day. The girls have to eat. You have to eat 5 tomatoes.
Cherry tomatoes.
Well, they're like pear tomatoes.
Okay.
They're about the same. It's about the size of a cherry tomato. We're not talking about
it's big.
Go get those celebrities. Yeah. Go get that beef. You got to eat 5 beef eater tomatoes.
I'm just over there
today.
Elizabeth is just there taking bites out of
them. Dad, I'm going to throw up.
Yeah.
Eat the tomato.
But there is. There's a burden of
both. It is. I mean, it's like, you're getting all this stuff, and like, what am I going to do with it? Don't throw it away.
Right.
You have to figure out what to do with it. So yeah, that's the kind of generosity and hospitality we should strive for.
Mm-hmm. Another one he talks about is the example from saints is a protection of guests from harm,
mm-hmm.
and he uses it's a patriarchal custom to protect guests from violence,
mm-hmm.
you know, and as a, you know, we talk about as man, we're protector, provider, establisher, it's a protector to even of guests in your home,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was,
once again, I think was a lot more significant back in the day where, you know, I mean, if you're just traveling, literally wild beasts could set upon you at night.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like
it's a real thing.
I mean, probably it won't happen to you, but it could. There are other points. I mean, think about the Nazis. I mean, that was like a real, that was big time going on. Yeah, like, I'm going to bring you into my home knowing, you know,
I'm protecting you from violence.
My own freedom. I mean, talk about hospitality.
Yeah.
And giving up. Oh, it's like one thing to give somebody some bread. It's another thing to give up your very freedom.
To protect them.
To protect somebody, you know, like was done in the Netherlands and Germany. I mean, all the Nazi-occupied mm-hmm. places. I mean, just, yeah, that could happen again. I'm sure that it will happen again at some point, somewhere. You know,
hopefully,
like,
let's pray it not to that.
I hope
magnitude,
I hope not, but
at least,
you know.
Right. No, I agree. But then he goes, the last point I thought was very interesting. He says, so that they may see the joy and gladness in you.
Hmm.
Right. And so this is the whole idea of, you know, it's hard to evangelize somebody unless you get to know them, unless they know who you are, they know that you care about them. And then all of a sudden they say, wow, your whole family is smiling. Your whole family is joyful. They're all working together as a unit. It's very clear that you guys have things working well. It's a well-oiled machine, if you will. What is going on? What about this is different?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think hospitality, especially, we kind of talked about this the other day in our community episode, how when you have good community, there's a festivity about mm-hmm. it. Hospitality kind of is the same way, that there's when you have someone over and I think it's exciting. I like hosting. I like, I especially like when people are staying with you,
mm-hmm.
you know, like maybe they're going to stay a couple days with you and you like really get to be hospitable because they get to see your family. You know, you get to invite them in, like, come be a part of my family with me for a few, you know, like a short time or whatever. I really do enjoy that. There's something fastidious about it. Mm-hmm. Is that a word? Fastidious?
Sure.
We're going to use it.
I think
it.
The peepster said Festivius.
We're going with it. Yeah. So, you know, there's like... sort of like when you like you see little kids, my daughters, they get a new doll and they get excited to show the doll, to like, here, play with my new doll.
Right.
You know, to share the doll
with others.
They like it so much. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, so it's kind of similar. Like, I'm excited. Like, let me get you something to drink. You know, let me give you the best of what I have.
Our kids love when we have people over. And we get to add a guest spot on the prayer board.
Oh yes, big time.
Yes, everybody gets to. You know, there's guests gets to add a prayer to the prayer board.
Yeah,
and so they all get to go. They all get to say their thing, and they all. It's like every time Luke looks over at the person. See what I did? See
yeah.
what I did? And they always try to group their prayer intercession with the saints of the patron saint of this. You know, it's just really funny. But yeah, they want to be a. They want. For you to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. And you want to give them your best. You don't want to, I mean, only if you're having someone over, but it's like, all right, well, I'm not going to give you my best stuff because I'm saving that for myself. And you're just a miser. You know, you're not being generous. You're not being hospitable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you have that festivity about it, it's like, oh, let's open the best bottle of wine we have. Let's open whatever.
Because the best is meant to be shared with others.
If you want something, I mean, like, if you want something, if you want to try something that we have, I've been waiting for this moment to open it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm excited.
By the way, I've been meaning to tell you, I'd like to come over. I know you have that nice bottle of whiskey at your house.
Which one?
Yeah.
Several.
Yeah. I'd like you to open one of them.
In fact, today we had people over for dinner and he goes, do you have a drinking problem? And I said, I don't have a problem with my drinking. And he's like, well, you got a lot of stuff over here. I was like, look, Sam, if I had a drinking problem, I wouldn't have all this stuff. I'd be drinking it and it wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
This is because I'm not drinking it. Yeah. That's why it's all still here.
Been waiting for you.
Right. Yeah.
So Aquinas talks about the next thing he talks about, number three on motives for us to be moved towards hospitality. He talks about the evils that are incurred by those who are unwilling to exercise hospitality. And we're going to hit the end of this here pretty soon. So We'll talk a little bit about the evils, and then he ends it with the three reasons we ought to be given hospitality. So he kind of ends it on a good note. But he talks about the three evils incurred by those unwilling to exercise hospitality. And the first one is that they are punished by the Lord, first of all.
So
punished by the Lord.
Take
so
that.
So that sin makes you dumb and blind, and so you don't understand. Like you get stuck in your rust. You don't. You're not. Your eyes aren't open to see helping others. Wisdom 19:13 is where he pulls it from.
Gonna get hit in the face with a Jesus sandal.
That would not be good. So if you're listening on the radio, tune into the podcast. Go to thecatholicmanshow.com. We'll continue this conversation. Go check us out because we're going to be opening up the Catholic Mancho camp out here pretty soon as well. More on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
So the first one, like I said, they are punished by the Lord. Big one. That should be one that you should be pretty nervous about.
And fear. Yeah, so either be hospitality or it's purgatory timeout for you.
He talks so much about your neighbor that it's almost like it's connected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like your neighbor.
Jesus, is
Jesus
what
did. I mean, yeah. It's like love thy neighbor, blah, blah, blah. So it's like.
But Juan, who is my neighbor?
Yeah. Well, I am your neighbor.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got, you know, like Adam's several houses away. I'm not even sure he's my neighbor.
Right. So anyway, so he talks about how, you know, they're punished by the Lord. You know, sin makes you
dumb.
Sin makes you dumb. Yeah, makes you
like D-U-M-M.
M-M-N.
Like dumb.
Yeah, but so you get punished by the Lord.
Why
you're not
so much smarter than you,
probably
because you're such a big sinner.
Well, that's not inaccurate.
And I don't do that anymore.
That's one of the things I don't do. but the next one is it talks about being confronted in your judgment. You know, Christ talks about this. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink.
Yeah.
And that's like the, man, that one should be one that was very fearful as well, right? Like your last judgment and I wasn't hospitable to everybody else. I wasn't welcoming them into my home, welcoming them into the church.
Yeah. So this is a book we have when it comes to hospitality. We've talked about it. It's been a man gear we did. It's a book on etiquette.
Oh, yes.
I cannot remember. It's like the book on etiquette. So there was a woman like in the 20s mm-hmm. or like early 1900s. She wrote this book on etiquette. It was like it defined etiquette.
And it keeps getting updated every.
And then her daughter like.
It updated, and
now
updated a lot.
Now it's the granddaughter who's putting of the okay. same. And
Emily something. Or...
Yeah, Emily something. But there's just a lot of really great stuff in there that for me. I think, you know, I don't get to host a lot, but if somebody's staying at your house, you know, oh, here's some good things to do to make them feel welcome so that, you know, you can be hospitable. And so I really recommend that book. It's not a Catholic book, but it does get into some like moral questions like hospitality. What do you do if you have an adult son who's not married? Who wants to bring his girlfriend for Christmas?
What do you do?
And she talks about it. And so she says, like, if you don't want them to stay in the same room, you have the right to enforce that rule in your home. And they, you know, and so she talks about, like, that's not being inhospitable because you have those rules.
Because you have rules.
Because
right.
you have those rules for your house. So I appreciated that she, you know, she doesn't cave in. So it's a good book to get, but it also talks about like having something on the bedside table with the Wi-Fi password. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like stuff that I wouldn't have necessarily thought of to do. Mm-hmm. I would have wanted to do.
Right.
And I would do if they had occurred to me. And so like that book, it's first of all, it's huge. It covers all kinds of situations. And it's good to know what is like the appropriate, respectful thing to do in certain like kind of unusual situations that you might find yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good resource.
I was going to go into this later, but I mean, this is going to kind of piggyback off of what you were just saying. Is like you should orient your house when having guests to hospitality, right? When they walk in, they should not feel like they're being burdened or they're burdensome to you. So everything should be oriented towards them, right? Everything should be set at the table. You know, like you said, like if they're staying the night, Wi-Fi password would be there, maybe a bottle of water, making sure that everything is taken care of to where there's no issues. That's something that like Jay Thomas, Deacon Jay Thomas is great at. When he hosts people, everything is set perfectly to serve the guests.
Right.
But from the plates to the food to the drinks, where are the drinks located? Where are we going to be to where we're going to be praying? I mean, it's just like everything is oriented towards servicing the guests.
Uh-huh.
And what that takes is a little bit of, you know, the virtue of foresight, you know, being able to see what's going to happen, how things are going to happen and predict what the needs will be throughout the night to be prepared for it.
Yeah. Not all houses facilitate hospitality in the same way.
Sure.
Like, for instance, my house is not a good house for hosting large groups of people. I don't have a space for people to gather. You know what I mean? It serves a family very well, but it does not serve like 12 to 14 people very well. We make it work, you know? So like there are things you can do if like this is something that you want to take more seriously, that you could just like look at your space. Often it's little things you can modify, change, add, remove that can help, the space serve the hospitality-ness in a better way, you know? And so those are just things to keep in mind if you're taking hospitality seriously.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the three evils. The first one was, you know, punished by the Lord. The second one is in your day of judgment. I was a stranger and you gave me no shelter. I was hungry, you gave me no food. And then the last one, he says, you shall be shut in an evil habituation. Like, so he's talking about from Matthew 25:4, the lamp and the oil. There's some people
in an evil, what, said that one more time,
you'll be shut up in an evil I can't even say it now.
Habituation?
Habituation.
What does that mean?
An evil habit.
Okay.
You know, like, because you're so blind now that, you know, he uses the example of, you know, the oil with the lamps, that the dumb people didn't even bring oil with their lamps. So they couldn't even have the light.
Right. You
know, the wise brought both oil and lamps so that they could see.
They didn't bring extra oil anyway.
Right. So he uses that as an example. So, I mean, each one kind of rolls into the next one, right?
Uh-huh.
So then the last one he talks about is the three reasons we ought to be given hospitality. And the first one is, by doing this, we gain grace. He uses the example of woman in Samaria who talked to Christ, which I thought was, you know, this grace builds on nature. The more you do this, the more the grace you'll be given, and could be monumental.
Mm-hmm.
The second one he talks about is
it was for her.
It was for her.
To change her life.
This is kind of like what you hinted at earlier, is that by doing this, we are frequently entertain angels and saints.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses Hebrews 13:1. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware.
I'm like, I wonder if I've done that. I bet I have. I bet I do it all the time.
Yeah, St. Raphael with Tobit.
I'm going to get to heaven and find out my wife was an angel. Like, I knew it. I had my...
But there's some metaphysical issues there.
I had my suspicions.
I like them. But, so, I would like to add this to the show because I found it fascinating. While you guys were talking, I looked up, who is the patron saint of hospitality?
I think I looked this up as well. Was it Saint Julian?
Julian,
yeah.
Muy bien.
Yeah. Like well, I mean, I looked it up.
Like a Julian salad?
No, like the drink Julian.
I thought that was a Julius.
Oh, it is a Julius, yeah.
You're talking about an orange Julius?
Yeah.
Delicious. I haven't had one of those in forever.
Yeah, that's why I said it wrong, because I hadn't had it in a long time either.
But, so bringing it back, do you know why he's a patron saint of hospitality?
I looked it up, but I don't recall why.
I don't even know.
The
really
story was incredible, so I have to share it. When St. Julian was born, a pagan witch, casted a curse on him to kill his father and mother at an earlier age. And his father wanted to get rid of the kid when he saw the witch do that. But the mother didn't let him. So the mother let him. He lived. And then at a time, he went away to his own life. And his father and mother went out to look for them. For him at a point. So they're praying in a church. They want to find him. Because he knew where he lived. So as they're leaving the church, they see a woman sitting on a chair and they're needing hospitality. So woman says...
They're needing hospitality?
Yeah, because they were looking for him.
Okay.
So they're like nomads at this point, going from town to town looking for him.
Gotcha.
So his wife said, yeah, come on in to my house. My husband, Julian, is out hunting for food. So... She's like, oh, your son is Julian. That's our son. So they go to their house, and his wife is so hospitable that she offers them their bedroom.
Okay. Mm.
So his wife offers their parents their bedroom while for sleeping. And she gets back to town. But Julian is out hunting. So the devil appears to Julian while he's hunting and says, while you were out hunting, your wife is cheating on you. And they're now laying in your bed. And Julian is like stern with rage and says, you know, how can this be? Whatever. And he was going to go out. And of course, what he's going to do? Kill the man in the bed for cheating, and then the woman too. But he ends up just turning back and walking out of town, just leaving. And then as he's leaving, he walks through town and he sees his wife sitting with a group of women. And he's like, I thought you were cheating on me. I was like, no. Your parents showed up and they're in her house right now. I offered them our bed. So he realizes what the devil had done at the time. You know, composes the rage and everything, and then goes and reunites with his parents. So because his wife was so hospitable, and because he was able to handle the whole thing so well, he's a patron saint of saints. He's a patron saint of hospitality.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not know that story.
No biggie. I found it so awesome. And I have seen his statue.
I've heard that one before.
I've seen his statue in some churches. He has a palm in his hand and a sword in the other hand. So.
Peace.
Yeah.
So is he related to the salad at all? Is the salad named after him?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't know about a Julian salad?
No idea.
There's that one movie where he's like, you're more shredded than a Julian salad, brah.
Is it because of Julius Caesar?
I'm pretty sure it's Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about. But I saw this story, I thought it was cool, I wanted to share it with everybody out there.
It's a good story.
Yeah.
Yeah, so John Bell... okay.
I've been trying to pull up that post. I can't get it on.
So John Bell brought up the point of expectations of having your house very clean whenever you're having people over, and how you have to... There has to be some kind of give and take, right? You live in the house. Remember that hilarious YouTube video of this guy like saying, like, we can't have them know that we live in this house. Everything must be clean. You know, and he's like running around. He actually is like dressed up as a mom and acting like that he's freaking out.
Right.
Like, they can't know we sit. Our cushions look like they've been sat on. You know, and he's like freaking out. Do you remember this video?
No, I have not seen it.
Oh, dude, it's hilarious. But... Haley and I make that joke every time we have people over, and it's like, they can't know we live here. It has to be clean, you know? And I think there is a give and take, right? You can't have your house has to be oriented towards hospitality. Like, it can't be such a wreck that it's not welcoming to other people. But you also live in this house, and there has to be a realization of, listen, I have four kids.
Right.
Everything is not just immaculate, and you can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, right? You can't just sit there and not invite anybody over because my house is never ever clean enough to have people over.
You should also strive for a level of order that it stays clean enough for people to come over. I mean,
right.
I understand that's ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's idealism versus reality, realism. But you should clean your house before people come over. I mean,
right. Okay, so the last one. So the three reasons to be hospitable, according to Aquinas, in this homily he gave is, you know, we gain grace, we frequently entertain saints and angels, which is just such a spirituality mysticism that I think we lose in today's Western culture.
Yeah,
the Eastern Catholics do a much better job at the mysticism aspect.
Uh-huh.
But the last one is by doing this, we shall be received into an eternal, heavenly, and glorious habit of into eternal life. Because he says, come ye blessed children of my Father, inherit thy kingdom. And so he uses the example that when you're hospitable, you bring people into communion, which is what we're made for. We're made for communion. This is what eternal life will be, that we will all be in communion with one another. So you're just preparing yourself for the heavenly reality of the afterlife.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah, when you sit down at a table with somebody, you're really giving them, like, a part of yourself.
Can you imagine, like, actually hearing a homily like that, though? Like, I have four points to talk about here today on hospitality, and you like go through each point, and each point has three subsets of points as you're going through it, and it all flows together, each one building upon one another. I don't hear a whole lot of homilies like that today.
Rhetorics is not, that's not the style of rhetoric that we expect
we've kind
and what we have today.
Yeah, it's less catechesis.
Yeah, I mean, today it's just different. You know, they tell more
It'd be very interesting to hear. And
honestly, I think it'd be boring.
But it depends on how you,
it would be difficult to hear it because it's not what we're used to.
How good they are.
It'd be very hard to follow.
But that's what I was wondering. Like, how hard would it be? Like, at the end of it, would I remember? How many bullet points would I remember?
Exactly. How much would you actually be able to take away from it? And I don't. Maybe people back then were thinking that, like,
we're much dumber
this
now.
This Aquinas guy, he's like way too smart for me, and
I doubt it.
I'm not sure. I can't remember. His homilies are great. If I could just remember some of them,
I think he did a really good. I think he was really good.
Well, obviously, but that doesn't mean people remembered his homilies. But anyway.
I think at the time, the homilies were seen as like the time to learn,
mm-hmm.
because you didn't have all this book and stuff. So it's like the expectation was that you were there, like you were sitting at a college classroom, right? Right now, that's not the case. You have to like connect with the people, and you have
start off with a
joke, story, lure them in, hook, bait, sink. You know, it's like.
I love when Juan uses like little idioms, you know.
Hashtag hook bait sink.
You're welcome.
It's so great. I love it, Juan. But yeah, so I don't know. I just thought that it was really interesting. You know, I mean, he puts a lot of like, there's a lot on the line when it comes to being like that he's talking about in this homily of being hospitable.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think that. I'm just looking at it from my point of view a lot of times, like that very beginning quote that we said, you know, Christian hospitality from the beginning involves heavy burdens for the community, and specifically heavy burdens a lot of times for your from your domestic church, the community within your home.
Yeah.
And there's times like even like, you know, with you and Juan, like we all like to get together. We all like to have fun. But there's times like, oh, man, it's just like almost kind of inconvenient. I mean, I want to go with you guys and have dinner or whatever, but like I have other things I really got to be doing.
Right.
It's kind of inconvenient, but it's so important to not only for yourself, for leisure, but also for your family, for your kids.
So in my mom's family, just I like following up with that story about Saint Julian.
Julian.
They had a tradition about. When they would have guests, and I think it was like mostly between each other. My mom's one of nine. So like when one of their siblings would come over, the guest would sleep in their bedroom, like in the master bedroom.
I'm not that hospitable.
Which is a little bit weird, but is very hospitable. It happened to me and Pamela once. We went to stay with my Uncle John, one of my mom's brothers. And we didn't realize it at first, but like later on we figured out this is their mass. They were just kind of moving. So, my Uncle John, he was a widower. He had just gotten remarried. And so he and his new wife were like trying to combine households. So they had like a lot of stuff in some of the bedrooms. And so we realized we were in their master bedroom. They gave us their bedroom
mm-hmm.
to sleep in. And it was like, wow. Yeah, I was taken aback by it a little bit that why did he do that? He didn't have to do that.
Right.
You know, and it was just like kind of humbled, you know, and it is a very generous thing because I don't know, like, do you move all your stuff? Do you like take your clothes out first? You know, like, you know what I mean?
You know, you don't get that scrupulous about it.
But if you let them stay in there, what if you have to get dressed? Like, hey, you're knocking on the door. It's like, they're still asleep, and you need to get dressed. It's like, you go knock on. It's like, hey, sorry, I just have my underwears in here.
I wake up at 5:30.
know what I mean? Like, I don't know how you. That is a big. It's like, you got to, like, really plan for some stuff. And
sure.
But obviously, it's the best bed. Mm-hmm. You know, like. Like, my kids' bed, crap. they have the worst bed.
Sleeping on hay.
Right? I mean, when you only weigh, like, 40 pounds, who cares about how good your mattress is? Right. You know, so, like, yeah. I wouldn't put anybody, because, you know, like, that quote, it is a sacrifice. A lot of times it is the kids. So it's like, I remember growing up, when we had guests, I was sleeping on the couch. Mm-hmm. So we would, so that people could sleep in my room, you know, and on a bed.
Right.
Because you're not going to put an adult on the couch while your 10-year-old sleeps in a bed.
Sure.
So yeah, that's just what's expected.
I just think we got to be intentional about it. And it's tough. It's tough to do whenever you get swarmed with all of the things that you have going on in your daily life. And a lot of times you can even think about it and then be like, yeah, but it's just not, it's not a good time. Like, you're right. It's not a good time a lot of times. Most of the time, it's not a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have to, like, you have to make that time anyway.
Yeah, and like what you said at the beginning, the hardest thing is just to do it in the first place. Like, to initiate the hospital. You know, when you see somebody, that's why it's a good idea to think about. I mean, it's a good idea to be talking about it right now and to just think about it. So you can say, we have a plan for hospitality. If we meet a new couple at church, we are going to do this. We're going to invite them over. And that's why we have
the cookies over here,
the Danishes, you know, or something,
right.
You know, like that's, we have something ready to be hospitable. Mm-hmm. There was some comedian about don't touch the, mom was always like freaking out about don't touch the cake. I have no idea who that was.
I don't either. I do remember that. Yeah.
Like the cake is for guests.
But my parents did that.
Right. You, like, I mean, you have this stuff.
You have ready. Just,
well, what if somebody comes over?
Right. We have to give them coffee and cake.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you have, it's embarrassing if somebody, even if like somebody just drops in, which nobody does anymore.
No. Cell phones just killed that game.
Like the only person that I could really see just like.
Didn't it?
Out of, yeah, it totally. Just like dropping in. Without calling
is Juan.
It's Juan Posada.
Yeah, it's the
Juan
only.
Posada might just like not even knock.
Yeah,
and
just
walk
just
into
walking.
Your house. Like, hey, I'm glad you have clothes on.
Yeah,
true story.
In fact, we had to implement a rule with Juan at our house. It was like, Juan, listen, you have to knock before you come into our house.
Is that true, Juan? Did you have to
not knock? But I had to give him a heads up.
You have to give me a heads up
before. Hey, I'm on my way.
Yeah, he has to give me a heads up because there were times that were just not.
You know what I did?
Bad timing.
But I mean, it's not really a cultural thing. Like when I was staying in Colombia,
I would so use this if I was living somewhere else. Oh, sorry, it's just cultural.
In America,
language card.
Everybody gives the guest money,
right? Yeah,
like, it's a cultural thing. I don't know why. Here's my here's the basket. Please put $20.
So when I grew up, when I graduated from college, I went to Colombia and I lived there for about a year and a half. And I rented a room at a family's house while I was working there. And I lived with them for like a year and a half. And I'm telling you, neighbors and people will drop in all the time. I mean, like, it was expected that you had a pot of coffee going from like 2 to 7 and some cookies and things because somebody was going to drop in. And it was our cousins, uncles. Yeah, not even. This is late 21st century. But there were other people dropping completely. Not a call, no heads up, no nothing. Hey, such and such showed up. Get the cookies out. Get the coffee out. We're going to talk for a little bit. And it was just like they were doing the rounds. Wednesdays, I'm visiting such and such. Tuesdays, I'm visiting such and such. It was beautiful. It was so beautiful to see the community just like. And you know what? They would stay in for like 20, 30 minutes and then go.
Eat all the desserts.
He said, and then
go. You know, it's not like I'm expected to be here for dinner. I'm just going to stop by, say hi, check how you're doing, and then go visit somebody else or go to my house.
You know what that reminds me of? You remember at Sam's when they used to have all like the free samples of food? And it's just like one little bite of food. But if you went to all the places, you could get a solid, you know, like a square meal. That's what that reminds me of. Like, I don't have any dinner plans.
I'm going to go hit the Smiths, then the Johnsons.
I'm just going to walk the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a cookie over there.
Yeah.
Maybe some cheese sandwiches over there.
Yep.
Well, haven't you heard the phrase, add a cup of water to the soup? Is that not a phrase here?
No.
I think, like, I've heard it a couple of times.
We're just, like, so rich here that we just have a lot of soup. We have all the soup.
All the soup. But that's where it came from. It's, like, down there in South America, you're visiting, and in your rounds, sometimes you just happen to hit dinner time. And somebody would say, add a cup of water to the soup. We have guests over.
Now it's even more bland.
No, it was never bland. It was always delicious. It was always rich. But you add a cup of water to have enough for the guests.
Jim is trying to get another. Listen, he's had like three Kathy pours tonight.
Oh, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
You're scandalizing everybody.
I just wanted to.
Well, Jim's a big man, so he can.
Stop.
Anyway, I don't have anything else I don't think about hospitality other than I just hope that people will.
You got to be ready. You know what I mean?
Have a plan. Be intentional.
I
mean, it's sort of like,
it'd be sweet if other people started doing the novena.
It's sort of like
traveling
the parable that you talked about, that Jesus talked, you know, the virgins with the oil.
Mm-hmm.
There were some virgins who were prepared, mm-hmm. who had made a plan, and some who weren't.
That was that was actually me.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying. So, like,
Aquinas just rips me off.
You are not going to be. It's not like you get to decide when you have the opportunity to be hospitable. Sometimes mm-hmm. you do. Sometimes, you know, you invite people over and, you know, like, yeah. But a lot of times you don't. And so you have to be ready all the time because you do not know when the bridegroom will show, you know. So have a plan that's reasonable for your means and for what you can offer. I mean, like, not all families can offer the same sorts of things, and that's okay. You know, you're not expected to, like, look, when I went over to the Smiths and they had caviar. You don't have caviar to offer me? It's like, no. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's not it. You just offer them the things that you have, you know, so have a plan. You want to be ready.
Bring people into the church. Be disciples.
And then lock the doors and say that they can't leave until they...
The beings will continue until you become Catholic.
Until they profess the creed.
Right.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.